Yeah, welcome, welcome. So glad that you are here. Hey, let's welcome all of our brothers and sisters, family and friends that are a part of our online campus. Would you do that with me? Welcome, guys. Love you very, very much. The Lord is doing some awesome things in connection with Victory Life Now and overseas, and so this is awesome. Well, I want to begin a new series today, and we're entitling this Mind Renewal. Mind Renewal, and this is so vital to our lives as believers, and it's so important and an important part of what God is willing to do and wanting to do in all of our lives. I have seen far too many good people, good Christian people, really encounter God, have an experience with God, and even receive something from the Lord, but then they get stuck. Too many people have gotten saved and stuck. And God doesn't want that for our lives. So I believe that in most cases, it's because people either have not had their minds renewed or being renewed to what God is saying to them, or God has shown them, or many other people do not know how to renew their minds. They know the Bible says we need to renew our minds, and that the transformation of the Christian life comes through the renewing of the mind. But they don't know how to renew their minds, and so they get discouraged and many times just, if you will, fall away. And God doesn't want that for any of our lives. So I'm excited about this. I believe it's going to be vital to our lives and, again, to our church. As a matter of fact, the first thing I want to say about mind renewal and in this series is that whatever truth, any truth that God reveals to you, it comes with the need of having your mind renewed. Every truth, every revelation, every encounter you have with God, every experience you have with God comes with the need for mind renewal. In other words, a lot of good people have thought just because they get a revelation of a subject, a topic, an issue in their life, that revelation alone has already renewed their minds. And the truth of the matter is, every revelation I've ever received from God, every truth that He's illuminated, that wasn't the end, that was the beginning of a journey of which a door was opened of truth or a change, yes, in my life, but to walk that change out, I needed the Holy Spirit to renew my mind and be continually renewing my mind to that topic or to that subject. And that's what has produced the change or the transformation and continuing to do so in my own life. So no matter what God has revealed to you, no matter what He has shown you, again, you haven't arrived with that revelation. A pathway has been opened. And now God, by the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that shows you that truth, wants to reprogram your mind. Our minds have been programmed by the world. They've been programmed by sin and death and corruption. And then God shows us the truth about something, and we don't realize we've got to have our minds, if you will, reprogrammed now to match that truth. And a lot of people just do not understand that process or cooperate with that process. I believe in this so much, and I'm excited personally for this opportunity to share on nothing but mind renewal, because a lot of times I'll share on this when I'm in the middle of a subject, and I just add it to it. I want to spend the time and make this the subject now, and from this day forth, even when we're traveling or we're sharing, we're gonna have everyone now. Now that you see something about healing, go get the series on mind renewal. Now that you see something about God's will to prosper you, go get the series on mind renewal. Now that you saw finally, you're not the husband you thought you were. Okay, that's the next series that I'm working on that I didn't want to tell you so that I make sure you come back, but man, God will reveal to you what kind of husband He's called you to be. And just because you finally saw the picture in your heart, that doesn't mean you don't have to replace your old thoughts of what you thought a husband was with your new thoughts now from God on what a husband is. And on I can go, and we will. So I'm really excited about this. Ephesians 4, 17 through 24. We're going to look at the New Living Translation here. With the Lord's authority, I say this. Man, I love that. With the Lord's authority, I'm saying this. This wasn't Paul's opinion. It wasn't what the world thought. He said, I'm saying this by the authority of the Lord. He says, live no longer as Gentiles do. for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They have wandered far from the life of God or the life God gives because they have closed their minds and have hardened their hearts against Him. I meet these people all the time. You and I were like that before we made Jesus the Lord of our life. We didn't even realize how we had closed our minds off to God. Many of us thought we were opening our minds to, again, new truths and philosophy and ideology, and we were an open mind people. The truth of the matter is, the further you get away from God, the more closed-minded you become and darkened in your heart from the things of God. Again, I run into these people, and I'll try to share something with them, and I better not say God, or they'll shut me down immediately. That's how you and I were before Jesus, but we're no longer that way. He goes on to say, they have no sense of shame. Listen to me. There are some things, dear ones, it's a good thing if you do certain things, you ought to be ashamed of it. There's nothing wrong with being ashamed if you were to commit acts of evil or darkness. We simply need to have our minds renewed to get out of any sin quickly or out of any darkness quickly. But these people, he says, I don't want you to be this way. They have no sense of shame. They can go into a school and just kill children, innocent children, and a couple of adults, and they have no sense of guilt. They have no sense of conviction. They have no sense of a fear of God. They have no sense of a fear of eternal judgment and that there is more to life than this life and that we're all going to meet God. He said, don't be that way. He says, they live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. But that isn't what you learned about Christ. Aren't you glad you've learned differently than that? Amen? What's wrong with y'all? You're the good ones. Thank you. Now, he says, but you didn't learn that from Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from Him. Truth comes from the Word, the living Word and the written Word. Truth comes from Jesus. He says, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit, I love that, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes and put on your new nature, created to be godlike or like God, truly righteous and truly holy. Now, I've taught you over the decades that if you're born again, if you make Jesus the Lord of your life, in your spirit man, in your heart of hearts, you've been made righteous and truly holy, and God wants you to put that on now in your daily life. When you were lost, when you and I were in Adam, we walked according to the lust of this world and our flesh, and we lived for self and self-centered lives, and we had a way of life that was displeasing to God. He said, you got to put that off now, and you got to put the new life on. And listen, in the middle is the renewing of the spirit of your mind. Your mind is in the middle and stands in the middle between your old life that wasn't pleasing to God and your new life in Jesus now, that can be pleasing to God. I used to think as I tried to work that out, I got to do three things. I got to put that old way of life on. I don't want to live like I used to live. And man, I got to work hard to renew my mind. And then I've got to work really harder to put on the new way of living. No. If we will be renewed in our thoughts and attitudes, and every time we are renewed by the Spirit of God, in our thoughts and attitudes, that's how you put off the old, and that's how you now supernaturally put on the new. Put on the new. So standing between the old life and the way you used to live and the new life that God has for you is your thoughts and attitudes. How many of you know that just because you're born again doesn't mean every thought you have is pure and godly? And just because you're born again doesn't mean all your attitudes are good. Anybody know what an attitude is? How many of you have teenagers? Okay, that's not all of you. I hope you haven't gotten rid of them, praise the Lord. I understand that temptation. How many of you were a teenager? How many of you have no arms? Amen, you either were a teenager And you ought to be able to remember you had some attitudes that were destroying your life. Or you're raising a teenager and you're struggling with, listen to me, look at me. It's your attitude that's messing you up. Not this, not that, not this, not that. We have to be renewed in our thoughts now as Christians. How we think, not just what we think, but how we think and your attitude. That's how you think. Ephesians 4:23 in the Amplified Bible says, and I love this, be constantly, everybody say constantly. Be constantly. So this isn't a one-time thing. Getting born again is a one-time thing. Mind renewal's the rest of your life. Be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual what? Attitude. And so this is a journey that we've all been called to and that we're embarking upon, in which as the Spirit renews our mind, that's what is releasing this new life and causing this new life in Christ in our spirit to be able to flow now into every other part of our life. So this is very important. Mind renewal is a work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I want to show you, and I want to make sure in this session we lay a foundation and at least get started with how that the Holy Spirit is connected to mind renewal. Many people believe the Holy Spirit's connected to the rebirth, but they think they have to renew their minds now, and they're trying after the flesh to renew their minds, and they're not being successful. So I want to teach you how the Holy Spirit renews our mind as we walk through this. So it's a work of the Spirit in our lives. Mind renewal is not natural, it's spiritual. Mind renewal is not just memorizing scriptures. It's not just reading the Bible. Those things can be involved in mind renewal, but mind renewal is spiritual. How many of you know Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinketh or he doesn't, so is he in his... As a man thinketh or doesn't think in his heart, so is he. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Your thoughts are like seeds. Your thoughts are important in your life, and having them renewed to God's thoughts is very powerful in the Christian life. And many people get born again, but they'll forsake even their wicked ways, but they won't forsake their wicked thoughts. And when I say wicked thoughts, I'm not talking about just perverse thoughts. I'm telling you, the world and the devil working in the world is very successful at corrupting our thoughts, at polluting and diluting our thoughts, at causing us to buy into thoughts that contradict God's thoughts, ways that contradict God's ways, and that can affect you in a negative way as a believer. I don't know if you've ever said this, but I'll see some people do some things, and the first thought I'll have is, what were you thinking? How many of you know usually they're not? Or they're thinking just like they used to think before they got saved, and they're hindering the power of God to change their lives because of their thinking. I need an amen on that. Maybe you felt conviction in more of you than I thought on that one. But I tell you, I meet Christians all the time that they know Jesus. They've received Jesus in their heart, and their spirit's been born again. But they are thinking and have the same attitude about things that the world has. They've not let the Holy Spirit renew their mind so that they can experience a transformed life. Man, I want to line my thinking up with God's thinking. I want my attitude to be affected by the truths that God has revealed to me in the Spirit, and that's a process. Let me give you some quick examples in my own life. The Bible says, and I just read it to you in verse 24 of Ephesians there, that we've been made righteous and truly holy. Righteous and truly holy. I got a revelation of that almost 4 decades ago that, man, I am the righteousness of God in Christ, and I truly am holy in the eyes of God. But how many of you know I needed my mind renewed to what does that look like now? What does that feel like now? How does that work in my everyday life that I've been made righteous and truly holy? That's the process of mind renewal. Jesus has made me. He's made you in your spirit man righteous and truly holy, but we need to be constantly being renewed in our minds to what that looks like. I know of preachers today on a national platform that are teaching because we've been made righteous in our spirit, we've been made truly holy, that sin doesn't matter now and we don't have to repent of anything and that we're all righteous and God has forgiven us. And I believe this myself. Past tense of sins, present tense of sins, and future tense of sins. That's a revelation. But if you think sin still doesn't matter, you haven't had your mind renewed to the Word of God. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Because there are people teaching that Christians don't have to repent anymore. Now, how many of you know we don't have to repent to get saved again or repent to go to heaven? But how many of you know we need to repent if we mess up? If we mess up, we need to fess up. Jesus didn't know in the book of Revelation, I guess, that we don't have to repent anymore because he told 5 out of the 7 churches to repent. Bless the Lord's heart. Maybe the Lord's right about this. How many of you know that if you don't learn to repent, you're not going to be married very long? How's that never repenting working out in your marriage? Probably not real good. I don't think Sue will ever buy into that false doctrine. Amen. I better have my mind renewed that, yes, I'm righteous and truly holy. I have a revelation. But what does it feel like? Do you know it took me a few years for that truth and having my mind renewed to that truth where I didn't live under a cloud of condemnation, a cloud of guilt. One of the things the Holy Spirit wants to do after he reveals to you, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus now, is to renew your mind so that you don't live under the guilt of your past. You don't live condemned and feeling unworthy or unfit for God's use now because of your past and your past mistakes. That's a process of mind renewal that comes after you get a revelation of you've been made righteous and truly holy. I saw 2 Corinthians 8:9 over 30 years ago that part of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ was that though he was rich, he became poor for our sake, that through his poverty, we might be made rich. I got a revelation that God's will is for me to be rich, for me to prosper. 3 John 2 says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." See, not only is it God's will for you to prosper, and not only will the Holy Spirit give you a revelation of prosperity, he will now renew your mind to what does that look like? What does that feel like? Why prosperity? What does it mean to be prosperous? See, that's all mind renewal once you get the revelation that Jesus bore poverty on the cross where you could have true prosperity in God. And it takes, for some of us, it took me years to get that image of poverty out of my soul. See, my soul is my mind, my will, my emotions, my personality. How many of you discovered that sin will literally, if you live in it long enough, affect your personality? It'll warp your personality. And so God is renewing. I mean, he renewed my personality when I came back to Jesus. Man, that takes a lot of explaining right there. But that was a part of my soul that needed healed. I knew God's will was to prosper me, but my image of poverty had to be renewed because I saw myself poor. I didn't see myself in the nice clothes I wear now. Hey, from where I come from, this is a nice jacket, hallelujah. I'm telling you, that might not be prosperity to you. But a guy that has not lived but slept under a bridge with no clothes, I'm prosperous. But see, when I got that revelation, then the Holy Spirit began to renew my mind and my thoughts about money, about prosperity, about wealth. I remember the first time the Holy Spirit, after I saw I was rich in Jesus and prosperous in Jesus, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said I didn't need any more money. What's wrong with you, Spirit? What are you talking about? I don't need any more money. See, he began to renew my mind and restore my mind, my thoughts, and my attitudes about money. And he said that you need to understand the word budget. You need to understand that it's not your money. You're just a steward of it. It took a while for my mind to be renewed that I don't have anything, that everything I'm a steward of. It took years for me to have the Holy Spirit renew my mind that I need to save some money. It's called a storehouse and for your future and for your kids.
That's the process of mind renewal. And it took some time to change my thoughts about money, to change my attitude about money. Amen. And so that's a part of God's commitment to us in finances. I had to learn how to give and receive. It was easy for me to give. How many of you, well, I won't ask you to raise your hand, but when you're poor and you don't have a lot, listen to me, it's easy to give something away because you don't have very much.
It's like, well, I only got a couple of these anyway, might as well give one away.
How many of you know that you have to have your mind renewed to why God is prospering you? You can get a revelation of prosperity, but why does God want to prosper me? Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18 says, it's God that gives us the power to gain wealth to establish his covenant. That the whole purpose of wealth and prosperity has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with a promise God made thousands of years ago to Abraham and his seed. I gotta prosper. It ain't about me. It's about God keeping his promise to a man thousands of years ago. And I've got to prosper as the seed of Abraham. And my children have to prosper because they're the seed of Abraham. I got to prosper because I got to have it to give it. Man, I love giving. I've always loved giving. But it took me a while that, wait a minute, God wants to give me more so I can give more. Man, there's nothing like giving a car away, especially one that runs. I've given a few cars away, but they had to come tow them off. It's nice for the Holy Spirit to renew your mind that, hey, that car, you're just a steward of it. And one day he might say, I want you to give it to so-and-so. Man, it's a good feeling to pay your bills. It's a good feeling to tithe. And it's a good feeling to give to the poor. You need to prosper. You need to prosper. Our businesses need to prosper. But watch people's attitude that claim to be Christians. There are people watching me right now. You've got some ill feelings, some ill will even toward me when I said it's God's will to prosper and it's God's will for everybody to prosper because you've not had your mind renewed. You've not had your attitude renewed to why God wants to prosper every one of us. You haven't had your mind renewed that poverty is a curse, that it hurts people, destroys lives and legacies. On and on I could go. Am I making any sense at all yet? I'm about to preach and I need to hurry. All right, who you are in Christ. I just spent 8 hours teaching who you are. I got that revelation again in 1980, but for nearly 4 decades, the Holy Spirit has been renewing my mind, my thoughts about it, and my attitude about who I am in Christ. All right, this is very important. I'll be referring to this. The power of the Christian life doesn't come from the mind, but it does come through the mind. If you don't get your minds renewed, you're going to hinder God's will for your life. You're going to hinder God's power that he wants to work in your life. You're going to hinder the flow of the Spirit in your life. The power of the Christian life comes from the Spirit, and that's in your spirit. But it can't go from your spirit to out here till it goes through your mind. In other words, you've got to agree with God. That's your will. That's your soul in order for God's will to come into your life. You can't read what God wills for your life and disagree with it and see it happen. You got to agree with God's word. You got to agree with God's will. That's your soul. You got to get these thoughts that are contrary to God's thoughts cast down and displaced. And you got to learn to yield to the Holy Spirit where he replaces those old thoughts and patterns of the world and gives you God's thoughts and new patterns in your brain. I tell you, I believe in this so much, and I don't believe it's just psychological. I believe that God wants to rewire physically some of our brains, that sin has damaged literally pathways of the brain and the synapses in our brain and the processing of truth even in our physical brain. Years ago, having to help so many people with pornography, I had to get some kind of understanding of what is wrong here. Because I would help some friends, and I mean, they were bound by this thing. And sometimes, thank God, it was a demon. I love it. If you got a demon problem, I can help you almost instantly. I can cast the devil out. Now all we got to do is clean up your house, and you're going to be fine. But if it's not a demon, but you have committed sexual sins, and one of the things the young people don't understand is that sexual sins, it's not just your body that is made one flesh in sexuality. A part of sex is the soul. The soul is affected. The soul gets images, the soul, the feelings, the emotions. When you sleep with somebody, it's not just your body that's united to them. There's this intermingling of your soul, and then that person's gone, and you commit other acts of sexuality with more people, and your soul literally gets damaged. I found out through pornography that literally, physically, there are chemicals released in your brain, and it alters the signals in your brain. And here's these people that love Jesus. They want to live right. They want to be pure. They want to be especially faithful now to their spouse, but they're struggling. Why? Their brain has paths that have been built by that sin that God wants to pull those things down. God wants to rip those things out and put new pathways in your brain to go the right way when you feel like having sex. I'm trying not to embarrass my children or me or Sue. I didn't do okay. I got three claps. Man, I'm telling you, we need our brains. Some of you, I love you, but your brain dead. You've destroyed so many brain cells through poor lifestyle choices. I believe in the power of the resurrection. I believe in the power of the Word of God. I believe in the power of Jesus so much, I believe He can restore literally your physical brain and create new pathways of righteousness in your life where you don't have to struggle forever. All of us struggle with something because of the world and the devil and sin and darkness building these pathways of thoughts and attitudes that many times you hear God, but you got to rebuild the highway of your mind. All right. Here's what I taught you in the last series, spirit, soul, and body. That you're a three-part being, you are a spirit, you have a soul, that's your mind, your will, your emotions, your intellect, your personality, the seed of your emotions. See, there's a brain in here, but notice there's no activity. We'll deal with that later. You have a soul, and you live in a body. You live in a body. And this is how you're connected. Watch this. Your spirit over, it links to the soul. See how the soul is linked to the spirit? And see how the soul on this side is linked to the body? Notice that the body and the spirit are not linked. There's a mediator. There's your flesh, your senses, what you smell, what you hear, what you feel from your senses, etc., etc. Your five physical senses are here. Your spirit that's born again is here, and right in the middle is the soul. If you want to get this stuff out of here, and I do, and I'm going to beat it out of some of you if I have to, I'm kidding. You didn't laugh. There's good stuff in here and nothing but good stuff in here, but I want to get it out here and out here. It's got to come through here. The soul, notice the arrow. It's connected to the spirit and it's connected to the body. All right? Here's your salvation. Here's how you're saved. Your spirit is saved past tense. When you make Jesus the Lord of your life, instantly this part is changed. It's born again. It's sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. But notice it overlaps here now with the soul. The spirit, I messed up here, it is saved by faith. Ephesians 2:8. It is literally saved by the blood of Jesus. And so Ephesians 2:8. The soul is in the present condition of being saved. And how is this saved? It is saved, according to Ephesians 5:26, by the washing of the water of the Word. See, God's Word, when you learn how to yield to God's Word, when you learn to respect God's Word, when you learn to exalt God's Word in your life, and you learn how to yield to God's Word, the Word of God has a cleansing effect on the soul. Because, see, we're seeing stuff every day. We're in this world, even though we're not of it, and our soul is being corrupted by the things of the world constantly and deceived constantly. So we need the water of the Word to cleanse it and to wash it every single day. Man, I love our church so much. Even when I'm gone, I miss you guys. And it's just a family to me. And seeing your hunger for the Word and just you're willing to listen. Man, when I first got started, I mean, it was like a battle every service. And I mean, I was like at war with religion and just hammering people's heads with all the religion that was in their heads. It was like our thinking was so messed up about God, about health, about wealth, about family. And so it was like a battle and a war. And
One service, a guy got so mad at me, and he come up. I mean, he made a beeline. I knew I was in trouble. And he came up to me, and he was just all emotionally distraught. And he put his finger in my face, and he said, "Let me tell you something about you." And by the way, he said, "I love this." He said, "Let me tell you something, young man. I love that sound." Even if you're mad at me, if you call me a young man, I'm good with this. I'm good with this. Let me tell you something, young man. You are nothing but a professional brainwasher. Because I was quoting scriptures, you know, because I was having to really work on the minds of people. How many of you know I'm not a professional brainwasher, but you need your brains washed. You need your brains washed. And he needed his brains washed. And so this is a process of being saved. Your body is saved, future tense, and will be saved by what? The resurrection. It's saved by hope. I'm not saved by hope. I'm saved by faith. What part of me is saved by faith? My spirit is saved right now. My soul is being saved. And if I get out of my body, my soul will still be connected to my spirit, and it will go to be with Jesus and the presence of Jesus. And then Jesus is going to bring me back at his appearing and kingdom to pick up my body. My body is bought and paid for, but it is not redeemed. How many of you know your bodies are decaying? Your outer man's decaying, but your inner man's being renewed day by day. Oh, come on, I need an amen on that. I'm telling you, some people get mad at me for that my body is not decaying. Look at your high school pictures. You're fading fast. Some of you have already jumped off the cliff, and right in front of me, you're fading. But your inner man's being renewed day by day by the Spirit of God. So I am saved, I'm being saved, and I will be saved. In Jesus' name. Look at Titus 3:3-5, New King James Version. For we ourselves were also once foolish. We were foolish. Before we met Jesus, we were foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Man, I've been so far removed from that. When I read that, I feel yucky. But that's who we were and how we were. Our culture is filled with people that don't know Jesus, that their hearts are hard, and they're filled with hate. They're filled with malice. They're filled with anger. God doesn't want us living that way or being that way. He goes on to say, but when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. See, when you got born again, there was a regeneration that the Holy Spirit accomplished. It's called the new birth. But now the Holy Spirit's been given to you. It's been given to me for now the renewing, the constant process of having my thoughts renewed, my thoughts changed, and my attitude renewed. If you look at those two words in the Greek, regeneration literally means rebirth. How many of you know you couldn't save yourself? You couldn't do enough good to get saved, and you couldn't quit doing enough bad to get saved. All you did was believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and you confessed him as your Lord, and the Holy Spirit in regeneration brought about a rebirth in your inner man, the part of your heart called your spirit. Now, that same Holy Spirit, though, is wanting to renew, and the renewing of your soul or your mind, that word means renovation. Renovation. Your spirit didn't get renovated. Your spirit got ripped out and a new spirit got put in you. But how many of you know there's a renovation, a remodeling, a restructuring of your mind that's constantly going on? Everybody know what flipping a house means, flipping houses? I got friends that flip houses, and they're making more money than me, so I'm praying about this. They'll buy a rundown, bad shape home. And usually if the foundation is okay in that thing and it's not ate up with termites, the worse off it is, the better it is for them. Because listen, they renovate it. They remodel it. They have to rip out all the old. Not easy, not fun. Then they got to put in all the new. And then they resell the home for a huge profit. And as I scan this crowd and look at some of you, we got a lot of fixer-uppers here. Man, some people, they're a real fixer-upper. I mean, it's going to take some renovation. It's going to take some remodeling.
And man, I've seen people really get born again, really get filled even with the Holy Spirit, and come to church and get angry at me because they're still thinking like the world. And when I bring God's thoughts, they counter the world's thoughts. And if you're embracing still the world's thoughts, you're going to get offended. If we could really be a church and really learn how to work and walk things out, usually when you get offended is when God is confronting and wanting to renovate your brain. He's challenging you. Amen. I could say some things right now that are so simple, but it offends people by the thousands. It offends Christians by the thousands because they've not had their minds renewed to the Word of God, to God's thoughts. And they have an attitude that's just like the world. You know, I love all of our black brothers and sisters. I don't see black or white. I don't judge people according to black or white. I believe that we should be judged on the content of our character, not the color of our skin. And yet we live in a culture that is obsessed with skin color. They're obsessed with bigotry and racism. And it's not just within one race that racism lives and bigotry lives. And because I don't see Jew or Gentile, I don't see black or white, I say things that can, if you haven't had your mind renewed, be offensive. And I don't mean it offensive at all. Young people, you're going to have to learn how to judge righteously in these last days. And how do I know the movement of Black Lives Matter is not godly? It's not right. It's very poisoned and poisoning the minds of young people. Why do I know that? Because they're filled with hate. They're filled with judgmentalism. They're bigots at their heart. They're racist at their heart. And I'm the guy that's standing here that really does believe Black Lives Matter, especially in the womb of their mother. Especially in the womb of their mother. If it was really about Black Lives Mattering, they would be picketing Planned Parenthood, who was birthed by a racist, Margaret Sanger, did I say it right? I don't want to mess up here. I'm doing this on the fly. I just know she was a racist at the bone, and she, the founder of Planned Parenthood, her vision was to exterminate what she thought was inferior, and that was literally black people. She was a racist at the bone. How many of you know black cops' lives matter? How many of you know black lives in Chicago, where the highest murder rate in the country is in Chicago, but Black Lives Matter doesn't march in Chicago because that's black on black crime, and that doesn't fit the agenda of anger and hate and racism and just bigotry to the bone. And I say things like that, and it offends Christians. Why? They have not had their mind renewed to how God sees life and how God values life, and that God values all life. All life is valuable and precious. Young people, the way you judge truth is, it's not a one-way street, it's a two-way street. If I was to stand up and say white lives matter, I'd be called a racist. I'd be called a bigot. And yet people have not had their minds renewed. Christians sitting in church, entire churches haven't had their minds renewed enough to know the value of life. Do you realize God doesn't only value life in the womb? He values the life of the elderly. And that you're to honor your parents. And you're to honor them when they're old. And the fact that some of our states within the union are passing laws now where we can give drugs to our parents and assist them in suicide. Assisted suicide? How can any Christian's mind even think about going there and dishonoring your parents like that? Old people are already feeling like they're not worth anything. They're already feeling like they're a burden to their families and have thoughts like that of suicide. And to think that a child of a parent would consider assisting them in killing themselves? I didn't assist my kids when they had suicidal thoughts when they were teenagers. I didn't assist them in suicide. I would never think about assisting my parents in suicide. No, I was glad when they got old and I could tell them, you're going to eat everything on your plate. God willed for you to get old so I could tell you when to go to bed. I can tell you what you can watch and can't watch and what you can eat and not eat. You ain't going to die. I'm going to pray for long life and the number of your days be fulfilled. Amen. That offends people. And I don't even know what old is. That offends people.
I don't know what old is. Old is when you reach down to pull the wrinkles out of your socks and you discover you ain't got none on.
That's old. I don't know. Old is when you reach down to tie your shoes and while you're down there, you have a thought, is there anything else I need to do while I'm down here? Amen. And that's old.
Old people need honored.
Old babies in the womb need honored. Old people need honored. Get your mind right. Get your head on right. Again, Romans chapter 8, verse 6 says, to be carnally minded is death. To Christians, to be spiritually minded is life and peace.
Carnal means your senses. Carnal means meat. Minded means head. Don't be a meathead.
Look at the young people right quick.
What's a meathead? You're going to have to Google that. Too many Christians are meatheads. Too many Christians think just like the world. Celebrate the thoughts of the world. Celebrate what the world calls love and compassion. You better get your mind renewed to what God calls love and God calls compassion, or you'll still be foolish. You'll have your heart darkened, and you'll close your mind off even to the Word of God, and you'll quench the power of God that comes out of your spirit. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies. You present your body. See how he separated you from your body? You present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by what? The renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. There's not three wills of God. God's will for you, I promise, is good. God's will for you is acceptable because he created you and fashioned you for his will for your life. And God's will for you is perfect. Notice he says conformed, the word conformed. Don't be conformed. Don't be shaped like, look like the world. Now listen to me, I'm out of time. And I'll pick this back up because this is important for every age and stage among us right now. When he says do not be conformed, shaped like and look like the world, he's not talking about our clothes. Because he goes on to talk about the transformation in the believer's life comes from the renewing of your mind, not the changing of your clothes. Worldliness is how you think, not what you wear. God doesn't care what you wear.
Amen.
And if you are wearing things that is common and stylish in the world, that doesn't mean you're worldly. Just like even jeans with holes in them, I don't like that, but I get it. And it's okay. You got to understand when I grew up, young people, you got to understand when I grew up, holes in your jeans was a sign of poverty. I just wish I'd have kept all my clothes. I'd be rich if I'd have kept my clothes because all of them had holes in them. I could give you some shirts and you'd be stylish. Guy last night said, I still look like I dress after the 80s. That didn't bother me at all because I'm holding out because this is going to come back around. I'm going to be on the cutting edge one day with even the young people. So we don't need to be conformed in our minds to think like they think and like we used to think when we were in the world, but be transformed. We'll really dig that out because it's a radical change in our lives. And then he says, by the renewing of your mind, not the removing of it. It's okay to think. Let me just say this. I got to quit, and then we'll talk about prove, which means demonstrate. I don't want to just know God's will. I want to experience it. I don't want to just know God heals. I want to prove God heals. And so the word renewing, again, is renovating. And it's not easy to change your mind. It's not easy to let that old stuff be pulled out and humble yourself and say, you know what, maybe I didn't see it right. And then let God put the new stuff up in your mind. Let me just say this in closing, because I have offended people with these statements, and I don't mean to. I don't want to. And I've caused confusion with people. If you have a high IQ, awesome. I celebrate it with you. You are in the minority. You need to know that. If you are a highly intelligent person, I'm not against that. God's not against that. I celebrate that. If we're preparing our kids to go to college to get an education, I'm not against that. Did you hear me say that? It is good to get an education, and that there's nothing wrong with getting an education. What I've always tried to explain is when you think your knowledge is superior to God's, that's wrong. When you, with your intellect, come to this conclusion, and God in His Word says the opposite, then you better go with God, not your conclusion based on your intellect. That's what I'm trying to say. I believe that we're transformed by the renewing, not the removing of our mind. I grew up in church where a lot of crazy stuff happened, and the Holy Ghost got blamed. And it was dumb. Some of it was dumb to the second power. Dumb. And I'm just telling you that God wants to renew our minds, not just remove them. Because anything He removes, even in your mind, He replaces with His thoughts. All right, takeaway, real simple today. Number one, mind renewal is a journey, not a destination. You never arrive. God is constantly changing our thoughts. The second, every truth comes with a need for mind renewal. Then the last one for our life groups is that the power of the Christian life doesn't come from the mind, but it does come through the mind. And so we need it renewed. Amen? Anybody get anything today? Hallelujah. Father, I love You and these precious people. Thank You for our purpose and fulfilling it. Thank You for our families. Help us to save our families. Thank You for our children. Thank You for our town. Thank You that being here makes a difference. And that while mind renewal probably didn't happen today, the process could have began for many people. And I pray You help me, that You continue to help me walk out mind renewal in my own life, and that I am able to help others. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.